All right. Excited. I'm excited. Y'all make sure you keep those cameras backed up. This is a lot right here. This is a lot. Maybe some Photoshop would be nice too. That's perfect, actually. Oh, that's not. All right, I'm excited. I don't know how I rated this job, honestly, because I really don't feel like I live on mission all that well. So as we go through this teaching, I want you guys to understand that this isn't me speaking to you. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. It is a humbling experience to come up with this teaching and think about it. You know, my job here at the church is outreach and evangelism. And I share my faith most every day on outreaches, personally, one-to-one, and different things like that. But honestly, I don't know that I live on mission all that well. So hopefully we're going to learn together. Amen? All right. So what is the mission? The mission is to know God, first of all, and then to make him known. And it's as simple as that. We don't know him, we won't know to make him known. So we got to know him first, and then we make him known. When you guys came to know the Lord, what did you really come to know? You fell in love with Jesus because of what? His character. That's what it was, right? When I met my wife, outwardly, there was a lot that I liked about her. But I didn't love her at that moment. And as I got to know her, I got to know her character, I fell in love with her. And fell in love with her more and more every day. So it got even more, right? And that's how it is with the Lord. We start out at a certain place. We learn his character, fall in love with Jesus, and then we start to fall in love with him more as we learn his character as we go on. So that's the truth, right? So if I want to make him known, what do you think I got to do? I want to convey his character. I want to convey his character. It's as simple as that. Now, what are some ways to convey his, generally, how do we convey his character? Well, we convey his character by anything we say out of love in his name, that's conveying his character. Anything we do out of love in his name, we're conveying his character, right? So I'm going to give you guys an ugly word, evangelism, sharing our faith, right? That's something we do to convey his character, right? What other ways? Examples, we can simply pray for somebody. We can pray for someone in need. I'm mostly talking about people that don't know the Lord. We can live on mission right here at church and pray for each other and things like that. That's cool. But for me, honestly, because of the way I'm wired and my giftings, I think a lot about people that aren't saved. So this is going to be, this teaching is going to lean a little bit towards that, all right? But you can apply however God is speaking to you in the way he wants you to live on mission, you can apply what we're talking about to what you're thinking, okay? Being ready to just be interrupted. Allowing your day to be interrupted for someone else, maybe in need. Does that make sense? That's living on mission. I remember I was a firefighter with Palm Bay for 33 years. I was a captain at the time. I was driving from a call. And because I was a captain, I had my own vehicle. You know, I was in a sedan. I wasn't in the fire truck anymore. And I'm driving from a call back to Station 1, my house. And I just felt like I should take a right and go to a different station. All right? So I take the right. Didn't make any sense because it was dinner time. And I don't know if you can notice, but I don't miss a lot of meals. So I took the right and I went to a different station. I pulled in. Firefighter walks up to me and says, "Hey, Cap, hey, I have a religious question for you." And I led him to the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Like just allow yourself to be interrupted. When God puts something on your heart, just go and do it, right? Don't be so in a rush. maybe even once in a while start out, you know, leave the house a little bit early so you can set yourself up for that kind of thing. Does that make sense? So those are just some examples, all right? Who does the work of ministry? The Holy Spirit, right? Ministry is a holy God meeting the needs of man. Ministry is a holy God meeting the needs of man. It's not us meeting their needs. We're just making ourselves available. Does that make sense? Okay. God doesn't leave the results of his work up to us. He does the work, right? Salvation is of the Lord. The cross, the work of the cross is completed, right? He could speak through a donkey if he wanted to. He has. He decides to speak through us, which sometimes we look a lot like that donkey. He wants to speak through you. Your behavior is not contingent. The work of God is not contingent on your behavior or your performance. Okay? You're not perfect. He knows that. He still wants to use you. Make sense? The Bible says that we sow, we water, but he causes the increase. Make sense? So you guys sow, I might water, you might sow, you might water, and he causes the increase. He causes the increase. Anything eternal that's going on is going to be done by him. So we can just relax about this. We just have to just be ready to just obey and do what he calls us to do. The work is not up to us, okay? Now, his work isn't up to us, but conveying the message kind of is, right? And it's really about positioning. It's about positioning. It's much like the sun and the moon. You know, the moon has no light, right? It just reflects the sun. Everybody knows this, right? And when the moon's in perfect position, it's a full moon. When it's way out of position, there's no moon. Gets a little bit more in position, it's a little sliver. Maybe there's a half moon because it's a little better in position. But when it's in perfect position, it's a full moon. It reflects the sun. Make sense? That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. Position equals reflection. Position equals reflection. We're just going to be positioned with God in order to reflect his glory. Do you guys know you're made in God's image? Does everybody know that? Who knows that? We're made in God's image. That's what the Bible says. You know why we're made in God's image? To reflect his glory. That's what we're to do, okay? So we need to be positioned. Now, if you're out of position, you're probably going to not think much about conveying his work, right? Conveying his message. You'll be about your own thing. So we want to be in position with him, all right? So let me ask a couple questions. That being said, how often, now don't answer out loud. Just think about this for yourself. We're going to evaluate ourselves a little bit. How often do you share your faith? Every day, once a week, once a month, once a year, maybe never. Have you ever prayed for someone to be healed? You know, have you ever walked up to somebody and just said, get up and walk? We don't really step out like that, do we? Have you ever been on a mission trip? Like Pastor Kevin said, I think we met before that, but we went on a mission trip together. Mission trips are an amazing thing. You want to get jump started for living on mission? A mission trip is a really good way to do that. Think about this for a second. Mission trip, I'm depending on resources that might come from me, that might come from someone else. I start to really depend on God because I see that it's so big, it's so much bigger than what I am, right? So I start depending on God. I start asking for resources. I start asking others for prayer. I start hanging out with like-minded people during mission training. I start learning about culture that I had no idea about. I start learning that they're probably not going to be able to speak my language. It may not be all that comfortable. I may not know where I'm going to sleep or what I'm going to eat. And am I even going to get sick if I eat something wrong, right? And you're just kind of make yourself vulnerable. You're just lending yourself to God, right? And you're leaving all the comforts of home, and you're going to hang out with a bunch of like-minded people. And what you're going to be doing is devoting time. You're going to be praying together. You're going to be breaking bread together. You're going to be worshiping together. You're going to be witnessing together. Sounds like a lot like the book of Acts, doesn't it? And he said, and it says in Acts that he added to their numbers daily. That's exciting. If you've never been on a mission trip, pray about that. That's a big deal. And here's the thing. When I debrief someone after coming back on a mission trip, I say, hey, you don't have to stop. You've been on this mission trip. You've done all this stuff. Come back and just continue it, right? We don't have to come back and just get back into what we've been doing and doing what we do. I mean, we probably do a lot of good things where we have to, right? It can't be all about. But here's the thing. When God said, go and make disciples, he didn't say, hey, leave here and go over there and make disciples. He said, as you go, make disciples. So if you can keep your mind on living on mission, that mission all the time, there's going to be ministry that you can do right where you are. Does that make sense? Okay. When I mention the word evangelism or these other things, what comes to mind? Do you cherish the moment? Anybody cherish the moment? Like, I can't wait to get out there and harass some sinners. Oh, I know you do. I know you do. I've been working with you for a long time. Praise the Lord. Yeah, some of us are that way, right? How about I dread the thought? I dread the thought. Anybody there? I dread the thought. All right. Got a couple. Hopefully we can get you moved further along tonight. I think most of us are probably somewhere around, I'm willing, but I have some apprehension. I'm willing. I don't quite understand what to do. Maybe I don't know how to start that conversation or what does an open door look like. Anybody there? I don't know how to maybe get that into that spiritual conversation from a normal conversation. Anybody there? Yeah. That's probably where most of us hang out. Right? If you're there, let me just tell you guys, little shameless plug, I'm teaching an evangelism class. It's an abbreviated evangelism class. It's only 3 sessions. It's abbreviated eStart class. It's going to be here at Vieira, October 14th, 21st, and 28th. It's 3 Mondays consecutively. It'll be about 1.5 to 2 hours long. There's going to be a 9:30 class, 9:30 a.m., and there's going to be a 6:30 p.m., all right? So I need commitments right now. I'm just kidding. Come out and learn. Look, I don't care how seasoned you are. There's something to learn. There's always something to learn. God's willing. God wants to teach you. And this is what he wants, right? So you're going to learn how to navigate a conversation, how to do biblical evangelism, not just out there doing just willy-nilly type stuff. You're gonna be able to stay in the driver's seat and stay out of the hot seat, keep yourself somewhat out of trouble. We get through all that stuff. So it's a good class. Check it out. I might mention it a couple more times throughout the teaching if you didn't copy it down. So I've been teaching evangelism and the like for quite some time. I'm not sure exactly how many, maybe 23 years or something like that. And in evangelism classes, you know, when you ask somebody, why don't you share your faith more often? They give you a lot of these reasons. So we're going to go through some of these reasons. I want you guys to evaluate for yourself. Okay? You ready? Now, fasten your seatbelts, guys, because this could hurt a little bit. I don't hate you. As a matter of fact, I'm with you. I'm gonna be taught here just like you, okay? So here we go. I don't know how to share my faith. Anybody there? Excuse number 1, I don't know how to share my faith. Anybody? All right? So I don't share my faith because I don't know how. Someone led you to the Lord, right? So you know that, share that, right? Remember the woman at the well, didn't know much. Jesus presented himself as the Messiah, and she went back, gave a testimony, and a bunch of men from the city, and think about this, the men, she was kind of like a harlot to them. She went back, told the men came and seen Jesus, and basically what she did was a testimony. I met a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? They went and half of them got saved. So we can give our testimony. You better believe this. If you're willing to give your testimony and you're ready to give your testimony, God is going to run you into people that need to hear your testimony. That's a fact. He's very interested in doing that. He promises not to leave you. He promises that his words will be on your lips. He says in Luke, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what to say. I don't know about you, man. If I know that I'm going to be used by God like that, I want to try. You guys with me on that? I want to try. I want that. I want to be used by God like that. I'm telling you, it happens, okay? But if you don't know how to share your faith, also, you could always take a class. I hear there's a class here happening, E-START, abbreviated class. Is going to be in October, starting on the 14th, ends on the 28th. It's like three classes, consecutive Mondays. There's going to be a 9:30 class and a 6:30 class. Check that out. All right. I don't know enough. Anybody there? I don't know enough? I don't know enough. Okay. So how much is enough? Right? How much is enough? And if knowing enough was a prerequisite, I'm not sure any of us would be able to share our faith. Right? We also serve a God who what? Knows enough. It's the same Holy Spirit today as it always was. He knows enough, and he's going to give us the words. And if you don't know enough, well, training is not a bad thing. Take a class. I hear there's a class here. I don't want to turn them off or push them away. I don't want to turn them off or push them away. Anybody there? That's a pretty good one. I don't want to turn them off or push them away. So let me ask you something. If they're not saved, they don't know Jesus, and they die, where are they going? Hell. There's no further place than that. You can't push them further than that. Lost is lost, and you can't make a lost person any more lost. Okay? But I hear you. I hear what you're thinking. Okay, I get that, but I don't want to drive a wedge between them and what might be with God someday, right? I don't want to say something wrong. Well, you could take a class to help you with that. But even with the class, I'll just promise you this. If they're looking for an excuse, they'll find one, right? They're going to find one with or without you. It's not on you. It's not on you. God, who does the work? God. He does the conviction. You can't. You're not strong enough. So just step out and go for it, okay? I don't want to lose a friend or family member. All right, now this is a big one. Who's in this? Who's here? I don't want to lose a friend. I don't want to lose a family member. Has anyone ever lost a friend or family member when you're sharing your faith? Anybody? Okay, yep. It happens. It happens. Come to class. I'm not joking. Come to class because we teach you how to navigate those conversations to soften that blow a bit, okay? If you don't tell them the truth, that really translates to hate, right? I mean, let's face it. Family and friends, they're hard to reach. Why are they so hard to reach? Well, for one, there's a vested interest. We don't want to lose them. We have a relationship with them. They're precious to us, and those relationships are precious. So we think that when we have a problem, they're going to take off on us. The problem is if we don't share the Lord with them, if they're not converted, are they even really a friend? Now, I hear what you're saying. Yes, they're a friend. But are they an eternal friend? I mean, if they're not an eternal friend, then they're only a friend for a few years. And that's not a friend at all, right? So what fellowship does darkness have with light? So let's just get out there and learn how to preach the gospel, learn how to not offend. We're not out there calling people sinners, but we are able to show them their sin so that they can see their character up against the character of God, and then they fall in love with the character of God, right? That's the idea. And we show you how to do that in class. But that's the idea. So you're not out there beating up on people. You're not out there beating up on your family. But you are gaining idea. And here's the thing. Here's the truth of the matter. This is my experience. I believe that everybody in this room actually knows how to share their faith. I do believe that. I just think that you need to realize that and realize the power that you have, right? Realize the job that you have been commissioned with. Another thing about family is they know your flaws. That can be rough. Hardest people, Diana, what do you think? Hardest people to witness to is friends and family, because they know your flaws. They know things. Another thing is the harder than that are old family members, right? Someone in authority over you, like maybe a dad or a mom. They're hard to minister to. And even harder than that is an old religious family member. Anybody have any of those? Yep. Yep, they're there. So they get hard. It gets hard. Take the class. Is God worthy of us trying this? Is God worthy? 100%. That's the whole deal here. You know, it's not about, you know, I've heard people say, man, you have such a heart for the lost. It's actually not the truth. I do love God, and I want to see him glorified. God is worthy of their worship. That's the deal, right? It's not about you falling in love with, I mean, quite honestly, sometimes there's pretty unlovely people out there, and if you were doing it because you loved people, you might stop doing it when you run into them. But if you're doing it for the right reason, like because you love God, then when you run into the unlovely, it won't make a difference. Does that make sense? All right. Excuse number five. I'm too busy. Anybody there? You guys aren't busy, are you? Anybody busy in this room? No, you ready to go? Well, you and I should hang out more. I got to figure out how that works. Yeah, I mean, if you looked at my schedule, you'd be like, what? Crazy. Busy. You know, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. So lost people are at the top of his list. So here's the question. What's at the top of your list? And when we start positioning ourselves correctly to reflect his glory, our lists start to look a lot alike. So if your list isn't looking like that just yet, evaluate yourself. Pray that God will give you a heart to fall in love with the things he loves and to fall in hate with the things he hates. Evaluate yourself and just get that positioning correct, okay? Excuse number six. It's not my calling or spiritual gift. Anybody there? Who says it's not my calling or spiritual gift? Okay, evangelism is my call. I have the gift of evangelism. Here's what Ephesians says about the gift of evangelism. I'm not the guy actually that's supposed to, because of that gift, I'm not the guy who's supposed to go out and do evangelism. I know that probably surprises some, but that's not what it says. It says that I'm here to teach and mobilize the church for the edification of the church. That's what Ephesians says that my job is having the gift of evangelism. What your job is, what our job is as believers, is to evangelize. More than that, make disciples. Go and make disciples, right? You're commissioned to do so. Matthew says that. It's the Great Commission. to go into all the world and make disciples. Excuse number 7. They won't want to talk about spiritual things with me. You guys think they want to talk about things with you? You think most people want to or no? Let me hear something. Who says they really don't want to talk? Give me a show of hands. Okay, 1, 2, couple here. Who says they want to talk? Okay. All right. You guys, the rest of you are indifferent on this or what? Come on now, work with me here. It's not a trap. Let me tell you something. They want to talk. That's a fact. They want to talk. Now, does everybody want to talk? No, not everybody. Some people just don't want to talk. Some people, they, you know, you go to give them a gospel tract, they wouldn't take a cold glass of water coming out of the desert. So they may not take a gospel tract, but most people do. Do you know that 54% of the people that come to the Lord come through written literature? Gospel tracts included, right? Some people won't talk. Most will. Do you know that most thank me after that? Most say, man, thanks so much for, thank you so much for taking the time to share with me. It means a lot. Thanks a lot. And they may not have even come to the Lord. They just say thank you, right? Because I'm not out there beating them up. I'm not shoving it down their throat. I'm just doing biblical evangelism, okay? If you want to know what biblical evangelism is, there's a class being held here at the church in October. Go online and sign up for it. When I started doing evangelism, I started having a guy walk around with me and videotaping me. And I would critique that and see how I was doing, right? And then a little while later, when I started teaching, I had him walk around with me and videotape me so that when we taught students, we could show them kind of what we're doing. I would show them everything. I'd show them all the good stuff that I did. I would show them all the bad stuff I did. I'd show them everything because I didn't want them. You know, there's a ton of stuff online that you get, but these guys are the big boys. They do it perfectly, right? I wanted to show them that just someone who is not perfect, who doesn't do it perfect, and I mess up, I'm doing it anyway, and I wanted to show them that, right, that it could happen. So I got my buddy videotaping me as we're going. And I'm saying this for this, okay? I want to show you guys that they actually want to talk to you. One of the things that people have a hard time with is this rejection. So what I wanted to do was I said to my buddy Paul, who was doing the videotaping, I said, hey, go through all the video we have and find all the rejection that you can find. And I want to make a rejection video, and I want to make that a class. I want to do a whole class on rejection and what rejection is and this and that. So he started going through the video. So let me give you an idea. Here's what he told me. He came back and he goes, you're not going to believe how much video we have. If you press play in what we have, the video that we have, if you press play today, video would run continuously day and night for 6 months. That's how much video we have. It's a ton of video. We were busy little beavers. Anyway, I said, okay, cool. Grab all the rejection. All right, so here we go. I'm going to need you guys to participate on this one. How many hours or minutes or days of rejection do you think he found? 6 months, day and night, how much rejection do you think he found? 2 months? Okay. Who else? Give it to me. 2 weeks? Lower? An hour? Lower? Isn't that crazy? Lower than an hour, 5 minutes. And actually, it wasn't even really 5 minutes because I believe rejection is when they say, oh, this is a God thing, no, I'm good. Half of what it was not that. Half of it was just, we were down in Daytona Beach and there was a gang of 8 guys and I was witnessing to them and it was heated. It was a lot of passion going on. They were excited about some things. I was excited about some things. We were having some fun, and my glasses were loaded up with spit. They weren't spitting on me, but we were having some fun. That was two and a half minutes of it, but that's sowing a seed. That's not rejection. I was just showing what a hard conversation might look like. That wasn't rejection. 5-minute video, and it really wasn't all rejection. Who believes me? For real. That I'm telling you, it's the truth. They want to talk. They want to talk. All right. Forgot where I was. Okay. Excuse number 8, they have already heard. Who believes that? They've already heard. Maybe in America, possibly, but I've witnessed to countless people that the only Jesus they've ever heard of is a cuss word. Right? I mean, are you sure they've already heard? I know people that say they're Christians. I always test this. They say they're a Christian, and they don't know the gospel. I call that low-hanging fruit because they profess to love Jesus, and I believe they do. I believe there's things about Jesus that they love, but they don't know the gospel. They don't know really why they're saved. And if you died today, where would you go? I go to heaven. Why? Because I'm a good, what do you think they say? Because I'm a good person. Right? All the time, right? That's not why we go to heaven. So then I tell them, and I call it low-hanging fruit. I love these because then they get a good idea of what the gospel truly is, and they cling to that. It's really awesome. But you know what? If you don't step out and ask and try to figure these things out, well, you never run into people like that, right? Or you just take their word for it. That's even kind of the crazier thing is, I'm a Christian. Oh, cool. And they don't know the gospel. They don't. Right? There's also a poll that says that it takes on an average of someone to hear the gospel 8 times. Anybody ever hear this? 8 times before they receive. That's an average. So, you know, you share the Lord, that might be their time. And you get to reap. That's awesome. And that happens, right? I don't want to condemn them. Excuse number 9, I don't want to condemn them. Who's there? I don't want to condemn them. We don't want to condemn them, right? We don't want to condemn. You know what the Bible says about them? If they don't believe, they're condemned already. So you can't condemn them. They're already condemned. Now, we want to be able to watch our words. We don't want to be condemning or damning in any way. We want to be loving, right? For sure. But you can't condemn them. Truth and love. All right. Excuse number 5. Or I'm 10. I'm doing, minusing my math. Excuse number 10, I fear physical harm. I fear physical harm. It could happen. You could be punched, kicked. You could be crucified upside down, beheaded, boiled in oil. It's happened before. Not much in America, but it has happened. But how about Columbine? Those young ladies gave their life for the message, right? So it can happen. But do we need to fear the person that can just catapult us into the arms of God, or should we fear God? Fear God. Excuse 11, I can't answer their questions. That's a good one. That is a good one. Take the class. I don't think we, in the abbreviated class, we don't go over questions, so the long one we do, how to answer certain questions. The best one they got, you want me to just give you the best one they got? If there's a loving God, why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? That's the best they got. And it's actually very answerable in many, many ways with no problem at all. Okay? And it's actually the best proof of God we have. So come to class and find out the answer to that. Hey, if there's questions that you think you don't know, you could always go and find the answers also, right? You can kind of head that off at the pass. You know, what do you think? What do I think they're going to ask me? What are some of the charges they're going to make? And don't forget, you're going to have the Holy Spirit that's going to tell you in that very hour what to say. All right, so you guys get the idea? All right, so check this out. Here's it. In summary, this is the excuses. I fear rejection. I fear physical harm. I fear losing a friend. I fear losing family members. I don't know how. I don't know enough. I don't have time. I'm too lazy. I didn't hit that one. That's like crazy. They won't want to talk to me about spiritual things. They've already heard what I'm going to say. I don't want to turn them off. I don't want to push them away. I don't want to condemn them. It is not my calling. It is not my spiritual gift. I can't answer their questions. Sounds like a bunch of I's, I'ms, me's, and my's, right? And if we're thinking like that, we're thinking that it has something to do with us, and it's got nothing to do with us, all right? So we got to get past that. We got to get past that. We got to understand that this is a work that he's not going to leave in our hands. He's going to take care of it, and we just got to step out, okay? Why do you think, now here, let's get real now. Here's what I think. Here's why I think we really don't share our faith. Okay? I think it boils down to two things. I think sometimes our walk doesn't match our talk. And we kind of, we're embarrassed about that. We feel like, man, I feel like maybe like a hypocrite, right? I'm not walking it out. So when I say, I'm not, you know, and I struggle with that, right? Kind of like in the garden, Adam, where are you? And then I think another one and a bigger one is forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I got it. Bigger one is that we have this huge need to be accepted. Huge need to be accepted. Does that make sense? Like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? It's right there at the top. It's like we have this huge desire to be accepted. And we think that if we're going to do these things, step out and try to heal someone or try to pray for someone or just step out, and we think that we're just going to be a rub and it's just going to be blown. It's just not that way. Let's see what the Bible has to say about this. All right, I'm going to read some verses to you. Check this out. I'm going to give you the reference. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to go kind of quick. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Who would take some of that? Who would take some of that? Luke 6:22 through 23. Blessed are you when men hate you. That's crazy. Blessed are you when men hate you and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. Mark 8:31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, or the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Okay, you guys see the theme there? See what we're talking about? Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Here's what's happening here. Now, there's more to that verse. I'm going to get to it. But when we want to kind of look good to our friends because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to have that rub, it's like we want some type of, I don't even know how to really say it, but we don't want to look bad. We don't want there'd be a rub. We want to gain something out of it. We want to save our life. That's kind of what he's saying here, right? And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? Do you realize that? I mean, what's the soul worth? Would you guys sell me one eye for $1 million? Sell me one of your eyes for $1 million? You would? You're just that crazy. I really got to start hanging out with you. How about both your eyes for $10 million? Both your eyes for $10 million. Here's what the Bible says about the eyes. It's a window to the soul. Now, if you won't sell the window to the soul for $10 million, how much more is the soul worth? Right? It's a big deal. Or what can you give in exchange for their soul? If any was ashamed of me and this adultery, now all this up here, right, translates to being ashamed, because this is what he's saying. If anyone is ashamed of me and this adulterous, I'm sorry, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in the Holy Father's glory with his holy angels. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. All right. So that's a lot of stuff there. How do we become positioned with God? How do we start to get in position with God? Well, there's nothing like being in his word. In Jude 20 and 20 through 23, I'm going to read a little bit to you. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Romans says that faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So build yourselves up on your most holy faith. James says, don't deceive yourselves, but don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So I can tell you that when we start to hear the word of God and we start to put it in action and become doers of the word of God, our faith will be built, okay? So you want to build your faith. Those are the ways you do it. Praying in the Holy Spirit. So I'm not only reading the Bible and listening to what God has to say and contemplating how I'm going to put that to work, but I'm also praying in the Holy Spirit, which is a two-way conversation. Does that sound like a relationship at all? Two-way conversation, right? Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So how do I do that? I'm looking for that for myself, and I'm also looking for that for others because I know him, and then I want to make him known. How do I do that? Well, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll keep my commands. And then 22 and 23 are interesting verses. It's right after this. Okay, it says this. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. That means that we're going to have compassion on some people that are making a distinction, which have a lot of questions. Right? We're going to have compassion on them. On others, it says, but others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. So on this end of the spectrum, I got people that are asking questions that I'm going to be gentle with. And then way over here, I got people that I'm going to save with fear, snatch them from the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Right? And then there's all kinds of people in between. How do I know who I'm dealing with? I got to be in communion with God. Right? I can't do that on my own. He's got to give me knowledge from on high, okay? So it takes time, and it doesn't matter when. I like the morning, but it takes time to spend time with God, to get plugged in, to get recharged. Does that make sense? So let's go over kind of like a little, I pick the morning, okay? It doesn't have to be the morning. I like the morning because it's like first thing and you're waking up and it just gets you adjusted. But I think we need to set ourselves up for success when we're talking about doing this, right? So cultivating our relationship with God, I'm talking about quiet time in the morning, okay? Very first thing you want to do, pick a place. The place should be well lit or lit to your satisfaction. It should be quiet, right? should be kind of out of the way. I'm not going to tell you where my place is. It's kind of disgusting. Second, figure out a time you want to meet with God. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because if you want to be successful in this, you want to get all this done before you go to do it. Like, if you go to meet with God and you're looking for, like, where you want to do it, it's just a distraction. So I'm saying think about it beforehand. That's where I'm going with this, okay? Make sense? So figure out a time. Figure out a time. Figure out a duration. How long you're going to spend. And figure out what you're going to do. Right? I mean, be consistent. I personally like the read, think, pray, contemplate. Anybody ever hear of that? It's kind of an old thing. Read, think, pray, contemplate. What I do is I pick an area of scripture. I don't read a lot. I mean, it might be just a little bit, right? I'm not talking about reading through the Bible in a year. That's awesome to do that too, but I'm talking about just spending time with God and reading certain scripture that I've already picked out, and I'm going to go through it through the week, right? And I'm going to read that for about 5 minutes. Just read it over and over, over and over, over and over. And then I'm going to think for about 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you decide to do, right? I'm going to think about it for a little bit and watch that message kind of pop off the page. And then I'm going to pray about what God might be trying to tell me. I might do that for about 10 minutes. And then I'm going to contemplate how I'm going to put it in action, right? And I might do that for 5 or 10 minutes. That makes sense? You'd be surprised. When you read that verse over and over, anyone ever do that? And it's just an area or a word just starts to lift off the page. He speaks to you. And you just kind of pray about what he's trying to tell you and how you're going to contemplate how you're going to apply that. That's what I'm talking about, okay? That's just a little something, all right? We're going to have the band come out real quick, but you also might journal. You might journal prayers and things like that. Whatever you decide to do, that's up to you, right? Everybody okay? Right? It's kind of a tough teaching, honestly. I mean, say again? There, you know, it's funny you ask. There is a class. Go online and sign up for it. You'll like it, I guarantee it. If nothing else, we'll just have some fun. I want to pray for you guys. Band can come on out. Band can come on out. I want to pray for you guys. I want to do a little commissioning prayer, and I want to do a filling of the Holy Spirit. You guys with me on that? Okay, I just want to pray over the congregation. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or do anything. You can take the posture you want to take at this moment. I would like to pray for you guys to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That helps in your positioning also, right? And this isn't like a magical thing. This is what just by faith. Let me tell you, do you think God wants to give you his Spirit? 100% he wants to give you his Spirit, okay? So by faith, you're gonna, where is the band? I was told to call them up at this time. Maybe we'll just not do the band. By faith, we're going to receive the Holy Spirit, okay? We're going to be filled. You guys with me on that? Okay, let's bow our heads. Father God, Lord, thank you so much for who you are and the things you do, Lord. You are holy, you are righteous, you are just, you are love. Lord Jesus, we want to do your will. Only your will. Yeah, we have things to do in the day, but we want to do your will. Father God, help us to love what you love and hate what you hate. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Anoint us, Lord, for your work. Make us dangerous for your gospel, Lord. that we'd stay on mission for your glory. Help us to walk in forgiveness. If there's anything in the way, continue to light our way, Lord Jesus. Convict us of our sin, Lord. Get it out in the open. Sin known or unknown, Lord. Father God, help us to glorify you through your filling and your anointing. Have your way in us. It's in Jesus' precious name, his powerful name, his healing name, his loving name. Amen. Amen.
Worship the Lord together.
All right, we're over the hump. We're over the hump. Tomorrow morning, don't forget to meet with the Lord. Super important. Start something for yourself if you're not already doing it. And then be blessed as you go. Be ready for God to interrupt you. You're praying for open doors, by the way. It's not really an interruption, right? Be ready for it, okay? Be ready for it. Great things are going to happen. God bless you guys, all right? Have a great rest of the week.